The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, so we're back. This episode is entitled The Watch. This is a continuation of The Wallet. So this episode picks up right where the last one left off, which is basically them at a restaurant, Jerry and his parents at a restaurant with Uncle Leo. And this woman who works there walks by, and Jerry's mom is like, "This woman is beautiful. You should ask her out." And he's like, "She's all right. Like, she's not amazing. She's fine.
I agree with his assessment.
Yeah, like, she's not like a knockout. Like, not at all. Cut to George talking to Susan again, and Susan telling him the updated news on the pilot, and they were just like, "Yeah, go fuck yourself. Fine. You wanna pass on it? Then the company doesn't care." So they were just like, "Okay, whatever, that's fine." And then George immediately panics because he thought that he was negotiating, but he's not negotiating. He's an idiot. Just take the $13,000, you moron.
I love how he immediately blamed Jerry.
Yeah, it's Jerry's fault.
The guy that's not there.
Yeah.
Like,
like, no, dude, it's your fault. It's 100% your fault. So he's like, "I need to speak with the CEO right now." And Susan's like, "No, you probably have to call him on Monday." And he's like, "No, where does he live?" And she's like, "No, I'm not going to tell you." And he's like, goes through her wallet trying to get the information to his address. And of course, he eventually finds it. Keep in mind, like, they're at the end of a date. Like, that, they're like in the car at the end of a date. He's such a moron.
Susan might be the most sympathetic character in this entire series.
Oh, yeah. You feel so. Her arc is awful in many ways.
I mean, god damn, this poor woman.
She went through all of it, man. She really did. So then cut to Kramer and Elaine talking, and she's like, "Look, I need you to pretend to be my boyfriend." And he's like, "All right, I need to know some things about our fake relationship." And he's like, "How many times did we do it a week?" She goes, "Five times." And he's like, "Oh." I mean, look, five times a week is a lot.
Especially if
two working adults.
If I've had sex with women who don't really give it their all. So if I'm going to do this five times a week, if we are going to do this thing, you gotta take the lead.
Yeah, you gotta put in some work.
Yeah, you gotta do something, man, because I'm trying to keep my cardio up.
It's work, but, man.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of work if you don't want the same thing over and over again. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
yeah, that's very true.
You want me to switch it up? You want to, you know, you want me to be on somewhere, and then you want to do it on the stairs, and then in the kitchen, and then in the bed. Like, come on now. Something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
Not a machine, goddammit.
It's very personal. Got very specific. Right next to my PlayStation, I'm just saying. Like on Wednesday. So Kramer's like, "All right, I'll make the call." So he makes the call, and he's like all forceful, and he's like, "Look, you know, this thing we got, Elaine and I, you know, it's very important," and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, "Yeah, it's actually not being an idiot." And then, of course, he starts getting cut off by the person on the other end, which is the psychologist. And he starts basically just being manipulated. And the psychologist is basically like, "I'm going to need to see you in person." And Kramer, of course, just bends to his will because this guy is a Svengali, not me, or a Svengali, if you will. And so Kramer agrees to meet this guy in person. And, of course, Elaine is furious.
I've been to a counselor once.
Yeah, my wife and I have gone to one.
We
not for marriage counseling, by the way. I would just like to point that out.
Yeah, this was the woman I was engaged to before I met my wife was she went to see a shrink.
Cuckoo for fucking Cocoa Puffs.
She went to see a shrink. And she was like, "Hey, do you want to come, you know, with me to see my shrink so that, you know, we could talk about marriage, you know, because this is when she was getting cold feet, right? And people say you're supposed to go see a marriage counselor. And when I was there, you know, she saw us together, but she didn't see me by myself because, you know, she has a relationship with her, or right. She had a relationship with her. So she didn't think it was ethical to see me.
Makes sense.
Right. That makes perfect sense. But we saw each other together, and I knocked it out of the park.
I love how you look at it as a contest.
I mean, look, I was awesome, right? And I was, like, the woman was like, well, I mean, you know, he seems to know what he wants and ready.
He seems perfect.
He seems very well adjusted. Like, so what's your problem? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, oh God. But yeah. I just said that. I just told that story just to let everyone know that I'm awesome. I don't know.
Oh, really? That's good.
I don't know if people know that. People are like, oh, you crazy. Nah, Terrence. I'm not crazy.
You're the crazy.
All right. I have proof from a psychologist that says that I am perfectly well adjusted.
Well, I bet Terrence hasn't been to a psychologist.
Right, exactly.
Where's your medical proof? by a licensed therapist. No, I've been to one before. I mean, I've talked about it. I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably already know. But, like, my wife and I, we tried to have kids. We weren't successful. Like, we got pregnant. Things happen. And we couldn't have kids. So we went to counseling for, I guess, maybe 4 months or something like that, 4 to 6 months. We went together. And yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's an interesting thing. It's one of those things where you totally get, if you're the type of person who actually is willing to open up, you totally get why it works.
Yeah.
Because it's like talking to somebody that you know, but you don't know. So you don't, like, really care what they think, but you do care what they think. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird balance. I don't know. I think you know, therapy works. I think if you allow it to work.
I mean, it works, but, you know, all you need is a buddy, in my opinion. I'm not here to dismiss therapy. I'm not here to say it doesn't work or, you know, but for myself personally, all I really need is someone to talk to. I don't have to pay someone an exorbitant amount of money to do it.
Yeah, well, it is expensive.
But I've also had a pretty easy goddamn life. So
yeah, I mean, it all depends on what you. It all depends on what you're going to therapy for.
Yeah,
like, I mean, there are things that, you know, there are things that I would rarely talk about to anybody that I talked about in that. You know, so it's I don't know. I think it can be helpful. I think it all matters in why you're going, what your goals are. You know, if it's just to prove that you're not insane, to yell at Terrence about it, then yeah, I think that's fine. But yeah, I mean, like, grief counseling is a whole different, scenario.
Yeah, that's different. You know.
Right. But but there are things that, like, I look back on and I'm like, aha, trigger, you know, like, so, you know, you look to those things and, you know, you'll learn some shit and that's kind of nice. But no, Elaine's psychiatrist or psychologist is a fucking lunatic. Like, this guy is clearly insane in his own right. But so you know, Kramer goes up to see him, and basically what happens is, like, oh, that guy gets Kramer gets totally manipulated by the guy, and Kramer ends up saying, like, oh, I think you and Elaine are going to be really happy together. Like, so he does a perfect flip move on him. So
can you imagine, like, having your persuasion skill up to the point where it's like you can convince a man that, you know, that he is quote unquote in a relationship, that he should not be in a relationship.
And that you should
and
be in a relationship.
I should be in the relationship instead of him.
Yeah. That's some, like, RPG shit. Like, you literally got your persuasion up to, you know, like, plus 60 for persuasion. So yeah, that's pretty good. And so then we get a scene where Morty is trying to pay for dinner, but he doesn't have his wallet. And Jerry's like, just let me pay. You don't even have a wallet to pay. And Morty's like, no, I got this. And he goes to the owner of the restaurant. He's like, I'll just send you a check when I get back to Florida. Like, no. What? So get the fuck out of my face. And of course, that guy doesn't do it because he's not an idiot.
Right. Like, I was in raincoats for 30 years. Ah, you were in raincoats, but you did not give them away.
like that's true. You got me. So George makes it over to the head of NBC's house, and he's like, hey, I need to talk with you about the pilot. And, like, I don't think this is his daughter. I don't think this is the guy's daughter.
No, it's his wife.
Oh, it is his wife. And he's got, like, this hot blonde there, and she's like, oh, she's just sitting there looking fine. And George is trying to be, like, charming or whatever. And he's like, just get the fuck out of my house. What do you want? And George is trying to negotiate to get the pilot back on. He ends up negotiating from $13,000 down to $8,000 between the two of them. And the guy finally accepts. And his wife is not pleased. She's just like, hurry up and get this loser out of
this out fucking of my house. Lunatic. Like, like, don't come up in my house unannounced.
Yeah, no, it was insane. I wouldn't have let him in.
Right, I wouldn't.
I'll
let
see
him
you
in.
On Monday, dude. Like, we can even talk on Monday, but you not coming to my house.
I remember my dad got pissed at me one day because he came to my house, to my apartment, unannounced, and I didn't let him in.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he got legitimately pissed at me.
Are you serious? You didn't let him in?
No, I didn't let him in. I had a girl over. She was naked. Like, I'm not gonna...
I thought you meant your house now.
Oh, no, not now. No. This was back... This was, like, a few years ago. This was, like, 4 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's not cool, dude.
Yeah, man, he came in unannounced. I had just moved out, so I was, like, 26. And I had a girl over, man. And he was mad because I didn't let him in. And I just stood there at the door, like, hey, what's up? Like, oh, yeah, you gonna let me in? Like, well, not really. And I'm doing the head nod thing, like, over here. And he was like, huh? Like, he...
just be like, I have company. Fuck off.
Like, I got somebody over here, but you're not gonna let me in? Like, my dad is a very spoiled man. He is. I love my dad a lot, but he...
Your dad's hilarious.
He's used to getting his way, man.
Apparently.
And he was legitimately pissed at me. Like, he told family members this shit. And then he told his brother, and my uncle was like, did you tell him you were coming over? Well, no. Well, what's the problem?
Yeah, you were in the wrong.
You're bad.
Yeah. You know, I actually have the luxury that my mom does not believe in the pop-in. Like, she does not. She doesn't like it when people do it, and she does not. She has never done it to me.
Yeah, man.
Not once.
It's called respect.
Yeah, like, you also don't know who the fuck is over there.
Right.
Like, no, man.
God damn it.
No.
He was really pissed at me, man.
That's fucking hilarious.
It's like, what the hell are you pissed at? Like,
mad, bro. He's mad. Yeah, no. Like, that is unacceptable behavior to me.
Yeah, man.
It's unacceptable.
Get out of here.
So from there, you know, Jerry and Uncle Leo are discussing in the bathroom about this watch, and like Uncle Leo's like, I'd give you the watch, but I like it. I've never seen a band like this. It's amazing.
Nigga, you full of shit. As soon as he said that shit, I was just like, I'm done with Uncle Leo and his shenanigans.
Yeah, not buying it, dude. So while on the street waiting for Kramer to talk to the psychologist, or psychiatrist, Elaine runs into Crazy Joe Davola, who she doesn't know, but she starts singing the same song he does, and he ends up getting her phone number. And so she's like, so she leaves, and she's like, oh, this guy's like, seems like really nice. No, he doesn't. He's insane. And so Crazy Joe Davola goes up to the psychiatrist, because he goes to the same one she does, and he's like, yeah, I just met a girl. I'm in love. I met the most beautiful woman just downstairs. Her name is Elaine. And the last thing you hear is the psychologist like, did you say the name was Elaine? And it's like, uh-oh. Shit just got real. So that's where the episode ends, and all is right in the world. So, yeah, I don't think these last two episodes are super strong, but everything gets moving in the next episode.
Yeah, yeah. There was a denouement where... because Jerry's dad lost the wallet, Jerry bought him a new wallet.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he and it's a Velcro wallet because Jerry's cheap. and he hid $400 in the wallet. But Jerry's dad hates the sound of Velcro tearing. Yeah. So he throws it in the garbage, and then Uncle Leo picks it up.
There's $400.
And there's $400 in it. Jerry's really, like, who the hell buys someone a Velcro wallet?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you, five?
Yeah, come on, man. A grown-ass man. I don't buy somebody a Velcro wallet. Is it
Super Mario on the wallet? Like, right. What are you doing? And second of all, yeah, these two episodes, I mean, Morty was a standout. Like, there was nothing gut-bustingly funny about these two episodes.
No, but what's the next episode? Is it like the Bubble Boy?
The Bubble Boy is the next episode. Okay. Like, hey, come on. Like, that's a seminal character, right? Like,
I love that episode.
Right.
All right, so that's it for us, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Really?